leadership in Jeffersonville. We're grateful for the crucified way. Lord, we're grateful for your way. You said, I am the way. The truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity, Lord, to praise you, to bless you, to thank you, to glorify you today in spirit. And now we're grateful to, Lord, to worship you in the truth. Lord, we ask you to touch our pastor, Lord. Lord, lift him up on eagle's wings. Lord, surround him with bands of angels so the enemy may not have access to him tonight, today. Lord, Lord, let him feed us with food today. Lord, convenient for us, Lord, as we allow you to break up the fallow ground of our hearts so the seeds of your word can fall on good ground. We love your word, Lord. It's our life. It's our everything. It's our existence. We praise you. We bless you. We thank you. And we give you all the glory and the honor. And all the saints said, amen in Jesus' name.
Amen. Praise God. Lift him up. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Woo. Shabarika rabosia. Hallelujah. You may be seated this morning. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. I am encouraged this morning. I am encouraged. Thank you, Jesus. And so there's a lot. If you just keep your natural eyes open, that you can be discouraged about. Amen. But if you walk in the Spirit, amen, allow your eyes to be opened spiritually, there is that much greater to be encouraged about. There is that much greater to be encouraged about. And you say, well, how do you know that? Well, you go over to, it was Elisha. It was with him and with his little friend there. And they were, you know, at that mountain, they were coming against the enemy, and they were scared. Right, they were scared because there's such a great enemy, right? And then the Lord opened his eyes to see all the angelic beings that were surrounded, that was on their side. Thank you, Jesus. And so if we just allow the Lord to open our eyes, open my eyes, Lord, that I may see spiritually, amen, and stay encouraged. Thank you, Lord God. So this morning, I'm just going to preach what the Lord told me to preach. And so, this is the title here. amen. Why is separation so important? Why is separation so important? You know, and so, because, you know, we will continue to hold the line. Hold the line, amen, for holiness. Hold the line, Rabaskahaya, for separation. Thank you, Jesus. Arabasia, and continue to defend, amen, the powerful treasures of truths that are found in the Word of God that back separation up, and the power, amen, that comes with separation. Thank you, Lord God. And so, hey, look, I don't care. People belittle it all they want to. It don't matter to me. I just gotta be like a duck. Lord, let me be a duck. Just let it roll off my back. I don't care. You can talk about it, but that water's just gonna run on off. You ain't changing my mind. The Lord's gave me too many experiences with it. Amen. That I'm holding on to. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise your mighty name. And so we hope to answer some of these questions today. We might not get them all answered, but if we're going to understand why separation is so important, what is separation? When did it start? Where was it instituted by God? Why do I need it? Why do I need it? Why do you need it? Is it for today? Who's it for? These are questions. These are things that we need to have account for. We need to know what we believe. We need to know the Word of God and what it says in the Word of God. All right, because we read all through it. I was telling somebody, you know, the other day, we was talking, and I really enjoyed it. We were discussing the Word and talking about it, you know, and we were just talking up where we were on even ground, right? And that's what you do. You just got to fellowship where you're on even ground. And I you know, I'm not here to try to, you know, debate or bang anything over your head. If you're seeking, we'll, you know, come together. And I want to be open to what people, you know, what people see, you know, so to speak. Either way, we're talking about, I just like, you know, it's just, you see it time and time again in these epistles that Paul wrote. Right? That you have to hold fast. You got to keep the line. You got to continue in what you have been taught, what you have learned, what has been showed upon you. Because if you don't, vain philosophy, vain this, vain that, spirits, this guy, that guy. In every single epistle that Paul is writing almost to these churches, he's telling them, he's forewarning them. Thank you, Jesus. And so we live in a world now, right, where it seems to me, right, that everybody wants to get away from this, you know, the power of the Holy Ghost, the power of the Holy Ghost, and say, and be like, oh, well, let's just, you know, come with this philosophy and well, if this is this way, then that. Look, you can say that all you want to, but just like Paul said, he said, I'm coming to you in the Spirit of God. I'm coming to you in the power of the Holy Ghost. He was learned. He was one of the smartest men, I believe, ever to be alive, I'm sure. I believe that. But yet he didn't say he didn't come and preach to the Jews like he had been taught up in the synagogue. He didn't preach to the Gentiles like the things that he knew of the culture. He said, I'm coming to you and I'm speaking to you under the influence of the Holy Ghost. And so, you know, and hey, everybody's entitled to their own opinion. The guy I was talking to also kind of scoffed at Paul because he said, you know, so many times, follow after me. You know, he's like, oh, Paul, I mean, you should have told him to follow after Jesus. Why is he telling him to follow after him? You know what I, you know, immediately the Lord told me, like, look at that guy. I didn't tell him because he wasn't open to it. And I ain't going to push him away. But I could look at it right there and say, you got a problem with authority. You got a problem with authority, right? Because when God sets people over top of us of authority, we are to follow after them. We're to mimic, right? And Paul said, follow after me as I after Christ, right? He said, and he was talking to the people that he had come and introduced the gospel to. He had already came and introduced them and showed them who Jesus was and told them how to live a good, morally Christian life. And these people came in trying to separate them away from that. And so Paul's like, you better follow back after me. Get your eyes on them. What I'm telling you to look into Jesus Christ. And so, anyways, that's neither here. That's free. It's neither here nor there. But, you know, I want to follow after the things that we've been taught and learned. Thank you, Jesus. And so we're going to talk about separation, but the whole point of it is I want to encourage you where you are in your separation. I want you to be encouraged where you are and encouraged to further separate. Right? And again, we see this word separation, everybody cringes. Because that old man cringes. He knows the power in it. You want to talk about what we were saying in Sunday school, you want to decrease and let him increase, then you separate unto God. And you wait. And so, here's the deal. We say separation and people cringe. I'm not just solely talking about all of you that are wearing dresses and long skirts and have your hair long and no makeup. I'm not strictly talking about that. That is a byproduct. That is a byproduct. And if you put that, again, I was just amazed. You get amazed at God and seeing different things that tie together. And so whenever my wife handed me her, you know, notes for Sunday school, and I'm up here, I'm like, wow. You talk about inside, right? Outside. You're talking about within, without. You got to be pitched within. If you're not pitched within, if you're not separated within, then the separation outward is going to be a burden. That's what we were talking about last week. That separation just becomes a burden, and it becomes something that I have to do. I'm not making anybody do that. Anybody can walk in this door however they want to be dressed. Rabbi Sahaya, and we love them the same. Thank you, Jesus. It ain't no have to. Raboshka Bahaya. But when you truly get the love, oh my, if you truly get the love of God on the inside, Rishabakarabasiya. Woo, Shabasabahaya. Well, I'll tell you what, you don't start searching separation in the app. You better be ready. Woo, buddy. There was one I saw. I started reading the first part of it. I looked over at my wife and said, man, she is coming at it. I mean, she, woo. Yeah. Uh-huh. And she, but hey, look, you caught it like it was. She's like, you're sitting out here, and she told us, you mixed multitude, right? We got liars, we got deceivers, we got all these people. I mean, right there. Yeah. And just boom, 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 boom. She said, I'm calling out because God calls it out. Whoa, thank you, Lord. But I want to give you this quote, amen, that Reverend Hicks gave us here. The Lord's death is separation. The Lord's death is separation. And we're going to talk about that. And that is why some people struggle with outward separation from the world and their manner of dress and behavior. What is outward separation from the world? It is nothing other than the Lord's death. When we put on our separation from the world in our manner of dress and behavior, unless people are called of God, they don't want to be around us. And that is a blessing. Separation is death that protects us all around so that we can increase deeper, higher, longer, and broader in Jesus' spiritual stature. Now, we were talking about that in Sunday school, right? That principle of death and life. And if you believe in it, then that death that comes is then yet life unto you. But if you don't believe it, then it's just nothing but death. Oh, praise your mighty name, Jesus. And so, why are we holding the line? Because we have to fight for what we believe in. We will have to fight for what we believe in. But if you're going to fight, you have to know what you're fighting for. Because if you don't know what you're fighting for, then when the fight gets tough, then you're like, it's not worth it. This is all worth it to me. This is all worth it to me. So I want to know, understand, and back up and firmly believe. And then once I do, then we're full force in that direction, right? Does that make sense? It's just like if we believe in the power of prayer, if we believe in coming together and calling upon the Lord and have faith, then we come all in full force. But if we don't believe, or if we don't truly, truly want to fight for prayer, then it just becomes this, you know, thing that we might do if we get here on time, or I might do if I get up early in the morning. But if we truly understand that that's worth fighting for, then we do it with full force. Amen. Is that making sense? So let's go over, let's start this morning in 2 Corinthians. Thank you, Jesus. Chapter 6. And we're not saying anything new, like I said, just to encourage us today and where we're at in this portion of our walk right now today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Because, you know, if you battle with these, battle with things. You may not be battling with what your separation is, inward or outwardly today, but that's okay. Somebody might be. Somebody might be. And so when we struggle back and forth with these things, what happens is Satan comes, the enemy comes, to test us on it, to see which way we're going to be swayed. We're going to go this way. We're going to go that way. Right. And so Jesus told Peter himself. He said, Satan desireth to take you and to sift you as wheat. What's that? Well, and went back in that day when they had the threshing floor, like a barn, so to speak, that was up on top of the hill, they would open the doors and allow the wind to blow through. So what they do, they took that wheat and they tossed it up, right? Because the chaff and all the stuff that wasn't of any count, then the wind would just take it away. But the heavy stuff, the weightier stuff, would then just fall on the ground. So what's that like? Well, that's like if I hold something dear, that's going to be weightier to me, then I'm going to grab a hold of it. I'm going to keep a hold of it. It's going to fall to the ground. But if Satan's sifting me and swaying me one way or the other, then that's going to be loftier, and then Satan's going to be able just to, boom, just take it right on out. Yeah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. But Jesus also told Peter, he said, but I've prayed for thee. Woo! Yeah.
He says, Satan's going to come and sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee, Rabaskahaya. And though the test is going to come, I pray that your faith be strengthened, Rabaskahaya. And that wasn't it either. He said, and when you are converted, then strengthen your brethren. When you are converted, then strengthen your brethren. And so if you're not struggling and tossed one way or the other, I'm about to put you on the spot, Sister Jacqueline. I hope you give me the right answer. What? How do you know about separation? It was taught to you. It was taught to you, right? It was showed to you. It was explained to you, right? And so all of us, as the next portion of generation, we have got to keep that and we got to show it to the people. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. So that's the same thing. If we are strengthened in it, if we are converted in it, if nobody's going to take it, you can put whatever principle you want to insert. It may not be separation. It may be something else. Thank you, Jesus. But if you're converted on it and you grabbed hold of it and you're not letting go, then you go and strengthen the brotherhood. You strengthen the brethren. See, that's the problem, people. We don't talk about separation enough. We don't talk about it enough. We don't encourage people enough. Oh, thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your holy name. All right. I'm getting off. We're not even getting going. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. We know this. Can we read it together today? Amen. Let's read this, just this one scripture verse together. The first word is wherefore. Amen. For it is written, wherefore come out from among them. Oh, praise God. Amen. Powerful. That is so powerful. It's in the New Testament, right? It's in the New Testament. And see, look, I don't care who you are. You tell everybody. Tell everybody. I'm screaming on the mountaintops. The New Testament backs up the Old Testament. The Old Testament paves way for the New Testament. Praise the Lord. I mean, we could go on that, but that's okay. We won't. Look, go back to that first word, though. What's the first word of the verse? Wherefore, meaning what? Oh, there's some things before that. There's things before that that was said that is utmost importance. So let's go back up there. Verse 11, O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open to you, our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Now, for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children. Be ye also enlarged. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial, or Satan? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, and as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Right? Again, this is the without, within. He's saying, look, wherefore, then come out from among them. Separate yourself, right? Which means just for the natural part of it, that people should look at me and distinctly differentiate me between somebody who is an unfollower of Christ. Right? By my appearance and by my behavior. It should speak us. That's part of that quote that we read a minute ago. That we should be able to distinctly distinguish between me and an unbeliever, right? He said, come out from among them. Why? Because you are a temple of God. Now, it doesn't say browbeat these people down, condemn them to hell. It doesn't say, just don't talk to them. No, he says, come out from among them. Means that you got to separate. There has to be a difference. You live a certain way, Rabaskahai, and you can't live the way that they live. Thank you, Jesus. He didn't say don't talk about it. Don't talk about coming out. Don't talk about, you know, separation. No, he didn't say that. Share it with them. Share who you are, why you are, and what you believe in. But you better know it. Because the vain philosophy, the people that are trying. Right? The enemy knows the word of God more than we do. Thank you, Jesus. So we have got to back these things up in the word of God. Come out from among them. Thank you, Jesus. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Thank you, Jesus. And so that's, again, we say that all the time. You become what you look upon. You continue to entertain and dwell in that. I've been there in my own life. I've been there. Whenever the Lord first, grabbed a hold of me and brought me in, I still had certain people, certain friends, right, that were my friends all growing up, and they did certain other things. Yeah. And so you try to okay, I'm going to church, going off. Hey, there's my friends. I still love them. These guys were still my best men and my wedding. These are still the same people. And so you try to exemplify God. You try to share with them. But if they're not coming with you, you better separate yourself from that person. Right? And I experienced it. We go out and, you know, get some wings or whatever, and they're indulging in things that I don't want to be a part of. Right? And they knew where I stand and where I stand. And so that line had to be drawn. It's the same type of thing. That's what it's called. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about holding the line. It's the same line that Moses drew down in the dirt whenever he came down from the mount. And they began to have a molten calf, and they wanted to follow after an idol. He said, look, if you're going to be with God, you're on my side. You better get over this line. Who got on that side? The Levites. The Levites said, we will stand for holiness. We will stand for God, for Almighty God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And so you will be rewarded for the stands that you take and the beliefs that you believe in that is right according to the word of God. The Levites were then, they took on the priesthood. Oh, blessed be the holy righteous name. But that wasn't what it was about to them. What it was about to them, just like David. David didn't care anything about being king. He didn't care anything about being the champion. All he knew is that he was gonna slay Goliath because he was defying God. That's all that mattered to him. Praise your name, Jesus. Blessed be the holy righteous name. Praise God. And so the enemy will tell you that you're natural or your outward separation is ugly. You got to push it off. You got to push him off. You cannot entertain that. You cannot entertain that. Or he may be coming at you for your inward separation. If you're going back and forth right now, if you're sitting here today and you're struggling whether or not you want to fully surrender or you want to truly separate, because that's what separating is. It's turning from something else and turning yourself to God. Rabaskahaya, and maybe he's drawing you in. Oh, thank you, Lord God. Blessed be the holy righteous name. And the enemy wants to come in and say all kinds of dumb stuff. You just look at him and say, you're dumb. Get out of here. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise God. Let's look at this. Here, let's do this. I want to do a demonstration, but first we've got to unveil. So one of the questions we proposed was, where did separation come from? Where was separation first brought about? Before creation. Before creation. Why? Because God is Elohim. Uniplural. Plural, meaning multiple, right? So what God had to do was he had to separate his only son from himself. Because we have the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? And so he had, we know this Bible tells us that Christ was slain before the foundations of the world. Thank you, Jesus. Before everything existed. So he had to separate his son from himself. Oh, praise God. All right. Well, I wanted to use, we got some sick kids today. Thank you, Lord. And some sick dads. Come here, Abel. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Well, we'll just do this. I was going to use Brother Chuck and Tate. Abel and Levi, but we'll make do. So look, hug me like you love me. Hey, make it tight. Come on, act like you love me. Right? And so this is that picture, right? This is that picture. That them being one, but right, he happened to separate his son right from him. Now that doesn't mean that he at that point in time that he let him go fully, right? No, but he, let's just like this, he had him right here and he truthed him up and he told him what he was going to be, who he was. He truthed him right up there. He was slain before the foundation of the world. Why? For the creation, right? His whole point was so that for all of creation, so then they could go right then and he would tell them, and then his son would create. And again, we're not going there in depth right now, but just for to give us our full picture. And so then what happened is after creation and fallen man, right, he had to then take his son again and another further separation, and he had to send him out here, right, into creation. Right? You see this separation instilled all throughout the Word of God. So don't tell me the separation ain't real. It is. It is. It's all throughout the Word. Thank you, Lord God. Rabaskahaya. And so I'm going to separate myself right here. Okay, God's over here. Now I'm me. I'm us. And so then what happens, right? God, who him he did foreknow, he did also predestinate, right? And so as we have, again, we go so many ways, talk so many different things. But so then what did he do? He put a fence around us. He put a fence around us. And sometimes it's hard for us to comprehend predestination. A lot of people believe a lot of different things on it. That's okay. But let's just take it as a picture of this. He put that fence around us. But we still have to choose to accept the Son, right? So it's almost like we got to let that gate open and accept the Son, right? We have to then accept. So then what happens? The Son, we accept Jesus in us, right? And then we then grow in him, right? And so we walk together. And as we grow up to the fullness, what does the Son do? He takes us right over, right? He then presents us back to the Father and says, look, this is one of my beloved. Right? This is one. This is my brother. And then the Father says, then takes us as an adopted son, a manifested son. But when we're back here in this part, what does separation do for us? Well, we got that fence and we have to accept Jesus in. But what we tend to do is if we don't have our fence up and we're not guarded either inwardly or outwardly, then we leave that gate open. And what do we do? Then we want to grab a hold of the world. Okay, let me, I got this in. I can't have this with this in here, with this in between. I can't have full separation until my bridegroom and my Lord Jesus Christ, Rabaskahaya, with other things in the way or in between. Rabaskahaya. So the world or the other Christian world, whoever it is, will then say, yeah, you're just holding on to a ritual. Yeah, you're just holding on to this outward thing. Rabaskahaya. You can look at them and say, no, I'm not. Rabaskahaya, I'm throwing away that thing so I can have this inward. Rabaskahaya. And when I have the inward, then the outward just becomes my fence. It just becomes my protection. Oh, Shababarabariska Bahaya. And as the enemy tries to come, then that's a protection for me. It's not about that. It's not about this. It's not about your hair. What it's about is the Lord Jesus Christ. Woo. Oh, Rabahaya. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Give a hand for Abel. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And so that's why Paul tells us, come out from among them. Be ye separate. Don't worry about these outward things. And then that's what becomes a byproduct. And so when I struggled whether or not I really wanted to fully separate or surrender to God, or if I wanted to kind of mingle in with what my friends did, there's one thing that I did that I was able then to what? Separate. What separate? It means to divide. It has to do with severing. And that was becoming closer to my Lord. As I become closer to the Lord, then that wasn't such a big deal. That wasn't such a big deal because all I knew was that I was experiencing more love. God is love. He's the very essence of love. But we have to make the choice to accept the fullness of love. Oh, thank you, Lord God. And then watch that love fight for you. Watch that love fight for you. Thank you, Jesus. There's many Hebrew words that involve with separate. One of these words is baldal, and this is where we find where it was first introduced in the scripture in Genesis 1, as he divided. The Lord saw that it was good, and he divided. All right, he divided the light from the darkness. He even divided the sun and the moon and the stars. Rabaskahaya, thank you, Jesus. He saw that it was all that was good, and yet he separated it. Thank you, Jesus. It means to, guess what? Choose out from among. That's what we're just talking about. Choose out from among. And so it changes everything. Once our perspective is right, once we look at it and say, wait a second, really the Lord chose me out from among. The Lord chose me out from among. He loves me so much that I want to be with forever with him, for eternity in the golden city, in the new city. And that's why I said earlier in Sunday school, right? It doesn't matter to everybody, and that's fine. But it depends on where you want to be in eternity. It depends on where you want to be in eternity. Thank you, Jesus. If you want to be in the new city, then this is what God has chosen you from out from among. Thank you, Lord God. And we have to make that choice to come out from among. It means to make a division. To distinguish. To distinguish. It has to do with a crystal or a pearl. Thank you, Jesus. I spelled that wrong. Why did that? Thank you, Jesus. Your separation has to do with the great pearl. You remember that story that Jesus talked about? Right, there was a pearl in the field. There's a pearl in the field. What did God do? He went and sold it all so he could go and purchase that field. Whoa. He sold everything that he had in order to buy that field because that pearl was there. I don't know about you guys, but I've already sold all that I had. I've already sold all that I had to purchase. I don't want to then go buy it back. I said, I don't want to go buy it back. I've already sold it. Oh, I've already gave up everything that I had because I was revealed, something that the Lord revealed unto me, what it was to grow up as a bride. Oh, my. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! I've already sold it all out. I ain't trying to buy it back. It ain't no count. It ain't no good. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Woo! Praise the holy righteous name. All right, now look. I go over to Acts. We've read this on Wednesdays. our Wednesday study, Acts chapter 13. I want to point this out. Verse number two. This is the story of Paul. All right, we went through all this. Powerful stuff. Paul going out as he's called to tell everybody he could. There were Jews, he was going to tell them. If they didn't accept it, first he was going to the Gentiles. He was called, as the disciple to the, or the apostle to the Gentiles. Thank you, Jesus. And so this is what we talked about. Verse number two, I'll read. Everybody there? Amen. I didn't hear any more pages. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And of course, we know this Saul, it says Saul right here. This is Paul. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia. Yeah. And from thence they sailed to Cyprus. Brother Tim, why was Cyprus important? That's where he's from. That's where he was from. Now look. Now I'm not trying that again. I don't want to dog on Barnabas, right? I don't want to dog on him. I don't know what the word is now. I mean, whatever. That's what I say, dog. I don't know. I think dog's good now, isn't it? I don't know. Chuck, he coaches basketball with them older kids. Right? Huh? I ain't trying to hate on Barnabas. I ain't trying to hate on him. But he sold everything that he had. He gave everything that he had. They all came together, right? And they all gave all that they had so then they could all be a part at one account, one accord, then to go out as the Lord had called them. The Lord called Barnabas to go out with Paul and to preach the gospel. The Holy Ghost separated them. They were constrained by the Holy Ghost, not on what they wanted to do, not their own ideology, but no, they were. It was through the Holy Ghost. He said, separate them. What'd they do next? They laid hands upon them, prayed for them, and they went out. And so if the Lord will allow us, I'd like to anoint every single person this morning. That way we recognize the power of the oil of separation. And every day when you get up, I encourage you, get your oil and anoint yourself and say, thank you, Lord God, that you have called me and that you have separated me out. Lord, let me walk in what you have called me to be and to do. But we know that Barnabas went out with Paul on this first journey. But what happened? Right? His nephew, Mark, went with him, and then he hightailed it out of there. So when it came time for the second journey, Barnabas said, let's go get Mark. And Paul said, no, we ain't taking Mark because he gave up on us. He gave up on us, and this is serious business, right? Oh, Rabbi Skahaya, it came down to the nitty-gritty, and it came down where the rubber meets the road, and they said, look, we got to have people that are like-minded. We got to have people that are on the same accord as us. We can't afford to be out here doing all this thing, and we wanted to read Cyprus because what happened was because Barnabas wanted to go to Cyprus where his family was. Oh, thank you, Jesus. That's where he did go. That's where he did go. When it came time for that second journey, he's like, all right, fine. You don't want to take Mark? I'm going to Cyprus. I'm going to get him. I'm going to dwell with my family. I'll preach the gospel there. Thank you, Jesus. You know what he did? He belittled the oil of separation. He belittled the oil of separation. Oh, thank you, Jesus. He turned away from the unified light because he wanted to do the bossing, and he wanted to do put his family first. Thank you, Jesus. Don't take me wrong. I'm not telling you to put your family first in life. But in order to put your family first in life, you've got to put your relationship with Jesus first. Thank you, Lord God. All right, we're talking about headship. And I don't think we're going to get there, but that's okay. You're talking about unified headship, right? It's the Father, the Son, the man, the woman. If we're all under, working under the right authority and headship of Almighty God. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be the holy, righteous name. But Barnabas turned away from that unified light because he wanted to do the bossing. Thank you, Jesus. He'd already sold it all, but then he went and bought back. He'd already sold it all. He already gave up. But he belittled what that was. Don't belittle what separation is. Don't belittle it. There's power in separation. There is power in separation. Thank you, Jesus. Outwardly, first and foremost, inwardly. Thank you, Lord God. I just want to make sure that I get that clear. Thank you, Jesus. Because people, I really don't care what people think about us. I don't know. I'm just speculating because ain't nobody say anything to me. Because I'll defend it. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. I probably think we're some, legalistic bunch that holds these, all these things. No. That's right. Who cares? I don't care what it is about. And that's why I want to reiterate what it is about is separating on the inside to God. So if we struggle in something in our separation and what God has called us to, if we struggle and like, man, I can't do that. I can't wear this certain thing on that day, or I can't wear this because it's whatever. Or I can't do that. I can't do that with my hair. Or I can't do that. I got to put a little of this on. Or if you are something and that sparks up and you are struggling in that, then seek God where you're not surrendering to him inwardly first. Seek God. Lord, is there somewhere I'm not seeking you inwardly first? Because if we are passionate about our inward relationship, then the outward is something we joy to do. We love to do. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be your holy, righteous name. So I'll tell you what let's do. Let's go. I want to pick up this outward example real quick in Numbers chapter 15. Numbers chapter 15, verse 37. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all getting quiet on me now? Don't get quiet. Chapter 15, verse 37. This is part of the Shema. This is part of what's considered the Jewish confession of faith. And what these Jewish people, the children of Israel, did to separate themselves unto God. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put on upon the fringes of the borders a ribbon band of blue. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that ye may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them, and that ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which ye used to go a whoring. That ye may remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto your God. I am the Lord your God, which brought ye out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. Right? And so he's telling them these must be a reminder. Now look, he didn't say it's a reminder of what you have to do. But he said it's a reminder of what I did for you. It's a reminder of what I did for you. And so if we continue to keep that reminder, kind of like on our demonstration, if we continue to keep the reminder, thank you, Lord God, that we are going to first and foremost love the Lord, then this ain't a big deal. Thank you, Jesus. But he told them to put the fringes upon their borders. Thank you, Lord. Why? So that people could look out and they could distinguish and they could differentiate between a Gentile and an Israelite. They could distinguish between everybody else and God's chosen people. Now, and that's what I want in my life. I want people to be able to look at me and say, that's God's chosen son right there. That's one who fully lives for the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Not because I wear a suit on Sundays, but by my attire and by my actions and my behavior. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Also run over to go along with this, Deuteronomy chapter 22. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Maybe next week we'll, if the Lord wills us, tarries and allows us to, we might talk about the power of separation, the power of the hair of the woman. Thank you, Lord God. Chapter 22, verse 12. Thou shalt make thee fringes upon the four quarters of thy vestures, wherewith thou coverest thyself. Wherefore thou coverest thyself. And so what's the coverest? That means to conceal or to hide. To conceal or hide, right? And so if I have something of utmost value that I truly hold dear to me, I'm going to conceal it and have it on me, right? I'm going to conceal it and have it on me. Now, if it was something of just like, you know, value, I'd probably just leave it like in a safe or hide it somewhere, you know, in the house. But if it was something that was most valuable to me, that had no monetary value, or it was above all, right? Maybe it was even worthless, but it was a value to you, then you're going to keep that in some place where ain't nobody going to take it. And so what is it when we cover ourselves? We cover ourselves because the natural, we want to conceal, we want to hide, we want to continue to grab a hold of and to love, amen, who the Lord and what he is to us. We want to cover it up. Thank you, Jesus. We want to cover ourselves. Praise God. So then the enemy, amen, cannot come and get us doing something we ain't supposed to do, right? Get us all off track, or get us whatever it is. And so that's why it's a pleasure to do these things, because of what we're concealing on the inside. Thank you, Jesus. I hope that makes sense. Thank you, Lord God. And so, look, this is something that we tend to, I don't want to say we, but, you know, like people tend to shy away from. But this is something that we firmly believe in, right? And this is the thing. You go back and look up in notes, and that's what Reverend Nick says. This message, this revelation of the bride and going on for God and growing up in Christ was founded upon separation. Was founded upon separation. And just like we talked and say today all the time, you can't tell me that all them old-timers are just, you know, dumb and stupid and we don't need that anymore. That ain't true. No, that is not true. God said, I am the Lord thy God. I change not. I change not. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be the holy, righteous name. Amen. And I want to keep myself separated to God. I want the world or the enemy to be able to come in, amen, and snatch a hold of me at this last day that we're living. Amen. And so hopefully you are encouraged in where you're at and what God's doing in your life, encouraged to continue to seek after him. Lord, where can I please you more? Where can I please you more? Not what can I do for myself. Not for what can I do the least amount of and get away with. But how can I please you more? Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be the holy, righteous name of the Lord. Thank you. Well, it's been good in the house of the Lord today. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And I'm expecting the Lord to continue to do good, great things tonight, and look forward to being back at 6 o'clock for prayer and worship. And then this is the second week of the month. Brother Chuck will be sharing with us, Lord willing. Thank you, Jesus. We love Brother Chuck and look forward to the Lord ministering through him tonight. Praise God. All right, let's stand. Yes, Sister Lynn. Yes, I am. Thanks for reminding me. We'll pray our dismissal prayer and then just come up and we'll anoint. And hopefully this can be something that you can remember and grab a hold of. Amen. Ask the Lord as we bury the seed. Ask the Lord to use this as a picture to encourage you. Thank you, Lord God, in your separation. Praise the Lord. All right, let's stand and we're going to pray. Amen. And you can come up. Praise God. Lord, we are so grateful today, Lord God, that you've moved, Lord, in a mighty way. Lord, Rabaskahaya, Lord God, we thank you today, Lord, for your powerful, powerful word, Lord. The power, Lord God, of your spirit, the power of separation, Lord, the power of the Holy Ghost, Lord God, that Rabaskahaya, that has power over the enemy. Oh, blessed be your holy, righteous name. Lord, we thank you today, Lord God, Lord, that death, Lord, has no power over us, Lord God, but we receive life, Lord God, through your death. Rabaskahaya, Lord God, this morning we ask that you would help us, Lord, continue to encourage us, Lord God, and where we're at, Lord, in our walk, Lord Jesus. Lord, help us today, Lord, to take heed to thy word, Lord God. And Lord, we ask for your blessing to be upon each and every person. Lord Jesus, give us journey and mercy. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord, bless thee and keep thee. Lord, make his face shine upon thee and be gracious to thee. Lord, lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. God bless you. Brother Chuck, will you just go ahead and play her?